A busy day on Capitol Hill.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Senate is expected to pass a near $500 million spending bill today. It'll cover foreign aid and domestic agency budgets. When senators vote on the measure, it'll include some 8,000 pet projects known as earmarks. Members of both parties voted down an attempt by Senator John McCain to effectively remove those earmarks, and the White House says President Barack Obama will sign that measure. Also on Capitol Hill, patent reform. The often wonky, lawyerly issue isn't a conversation fire starter, but believe it or not, it could be just what the nation needs to escape the economic fallout. A Senate committee considers a bill today with changes that are expected to spark fierce debate. From the Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
If enacted, the new patent bill would give credit for an invention to the first person who files for a patent, not necessarily the first person to create something. Small companies and individual inventors don't like that. They often lack the money needed to file a patent application first. But this issue isn't just about big companies versus small inventors. It's more industry versus industry. The new law could save companies like Google and IBM millions of dollars. It would limit damage awards in patent infringement lawsuits. But pharmaceutical and biotech firms are mostly against the changes. They fear lower penalties for infringement would undermine the value of patents. University of Iowa law professor Mark Janis says Google and IBM may get the reforms they're looking for.
It could pass. But I think we ought to stop and ask, you know, whether it will accomplish what anyone seeks to accomplish with it.
Janice says one size does not fit all, and that judges and juries should be allowed to decide patent infringement damages on a case-by-case basis. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Another day of selling on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow lost more than a percent. It's at 65.47. NASDAQ and S&P shares also lost ground, 1 to 2%. European markets are up for the most part, with gains of less than a percent being reported in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. Asian stocks were mixed. The Nikkei lost about 0.5%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng shot up more than 3%. There are signs of weakness today in the world's third largest economy. Consumer prices in China fell last month for the first time in more than 6 years. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
Chinese consumer prices in February fell 1.6% compared to last year. This hasn't happened since 2002. Economists see a couple things happening. Global raw material prices are down, which lowers costs for producers. And there's not much demand for Chinese exports right now. That leaves manufacturers with excess inventories. That pushes down prices even more. Chinese officials today described the situation as grim, but they were also quick to say they don't anticipate prolonged deflation. The government says its $585 billion stimulus package will perk up spending and consumer prices. China isn't the only place battling deflation. Ireland, Taiwan, and Thailand are trying to fend it off, too. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The Chinese economy is creating part of a headwind for the airline industry as U.S. carriers cut international routes in the wake of the financial fallout, anywhere from 3 to 6% of seats this year. And David Field, U.S. editor of Airline Business Magazine, says once popular business flights to China are taking a hit.
In the last 18 months, airlines in the U.S. were scrambling to get routes to China, which international routes are still highly regulated. You have to have permission from the government. Airlines got permission, and since then, in the last 4 months, they've cut back every route that they won in the last year.
More cuts could be announced today at the J.P. Morgan Aviation Conference going on in New York.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
If you're like me, you need your morning coffee to wake up, especially at these hours. But the Central African country of Rwanda is trying to get an economic jolt. It's trying to conquer one piece of the coffee market by producing specialty beans. Anna Boyko Wyrock reports.
A lot of Rwanda's economic future depends on what happens right here, on a tiny island in the middle of Lake Kivu. Walking around, your feet sink into the hay under acres of coffee trees. Their beans grow at high elevations in volcanic soil, making them fragrant and sweet. Last year, coffee like this made Rwanda $47 million U.S. dollars. It's the country's most lucrative export. But in the scheme of things, Rwanda is just a tiny part of the global market. Alex Kanyankole is the director of the Rwandan Coffee Board. He says growing specialty coffee is the only way they can get ahead.
We only stand an advantage if we produce high-quality coffee that can be admired because of its distinct quality.
In the past, farmers were encouraged to produce a large volume of coffee. Then the price plunged in the late 80s. Peasants were left with a lot of coffee trees, but nothing to eat. This time around, they're trying to avoid that. The government wants their beans to be the Gucci or Chanel of the coffee world. But to do that, they need this guy. The coffee cupper, the official taste tester. He slurps up the coffee and spits it out. Then he rates it on things like acidity and sweetness. If they're deemed worthy, these beans are sold to stores across Europe and the U.S. But some of the profits filter back to Rwanda's local communities. Emmanuel Ruakaga Nzungize is president of the COPAC Coffee Cooperative. He says coffee proceeds help his farmers.
La COPAC a pu construire une première école ici.
Our organization was able to build the first school here in 2005. The next year, we built another just a little ways down from the factory.
Sales of luxury goods are down everywhere, but the Rwandan Coffee Board isn't worried. They say people will keep drinking coffee, even high-end brands, during a global recession. In Gisenyi, Rwanda, I'm Anna Boyko Wyrock for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us online at our website, marketplace.org, with the numbers there, and our podcast as well, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.